forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's July 14th, 2014, and this is episode number 82. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with Amy Hale Auker, whose work alternates between riding and writing. This morning with Amy Hale Auker, who's in Prescott, Arizona. And Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So I know very little about you, but what I do know intrigued me. You mentioned that you cowboy for a living so that you can write books. And the first thing I wanted to ask you about was cowboy as a verb. Clearly, I'm a city girl because I haven't used it that way before. So what does that entail exactly?
Well, for me and for the people that I'm around and that use cowboy as a verb, it means that we are raising food more than anything else. Cowboys are not necessarily athletes in the arena in the culture that I'm in. Cowboys usually are stewards of the land, managing herds of cattle, either on private property or on government-owned property where we have, or our boss has, the grazing permit. So more than anything, we are caretakers of the land and the animals and growing food, usually, mostly beef, that is grazing on different allotments.
And so how did you personally find your way to that work and to Prescott in particular?
Well, I was born into a family of livestock men in Texas. And so I've been around agriculture, particularly the beef industry, all of my life. And when I was 19 years old, I quit college and married a working ranch cowboy. These are men, primarily, mm-hmm. who work for wages. Mm-hmm. On large cattle ranches in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, Montana, all the western states, California, are full of these large ranches that employ men working for wages. I say men because I don't know that many women who are actively working for wages on cow outfits.
Right.
So I married one when I was 19, and we moved from cow camp to cow camp, and I raised my children. I was not riding. I was not writing or riding. And I was homeschooling children. And in 2008, after a divorce and moves, I ended up moving to this ranch in Prescott, Arizona, with my now husband, who is the foreman, and I went to work for him, actually. So I actually work for my husband, which presents other challenges.
I'm sure. And how do you feel about the work itself? Just at a very granular, task level, is that a way that you enjoy spending your day? How do you feel about it?
I love the physicality. I love being in the natural world. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you ever read the things that I write, you see that being in the natural world is an intrinsic and very important part of my writing. Mm. So the two things feed off of each other. I like cows. Mm-hmm. I think they're smart. I enjoy being around cows. I like horses. And my days are spent horseback. This is a horseback outfit rather than being accessible via road, because it is a Forest Service allotment. We don't have roads. Mm. So we're horseback and we're camped out, sleeping out in camps a lot of the time. Mm. That physicality is very, very good for me. I like being outdoors. I like being physically active. I like working hard. I don't like being insulated or sheltered from the natural world and from the weather. So it is, for me, it's a very, very good thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, it hadn't occurred to me that you would be camping out. How does that work with your writing? Do you write while you're out there? Do you wait till you get back to, you know, home? How do you think about that?
I write every day. I have a writing practice developed from Julia Cameron's idea, in The Artist's Way, and Natalie Goldberg, of course, also really talks about having a writing practice. I write in longhand every morning. That is pretty mobile. I can take either Moleskine journals or I can take yellow legal pads. And a lot of times when I come home from being camped out for 8 or 10 days working cows, and I get to my office for a period of time and I transpose what I've written longhand onto the screen, that is a great part of my creative process, because then there's just a real rawness to writing longhand and then to transpose. You do an interesting edit in the transposition there. Mm-hmm. It works beautifully. It works beautifully. I don't have to be plugged in all the time.
Well, one thing that I find myself getting deeply jealous of you for just listening to you talk is it sounds to me like your life gives you a lot more peace and quiet and unplugged time than many of us. And that must allow for you to be very productive on the writing front, I'm guessing.
It does, but that was a conscious choice. Mm-hmm. In 2008, my choice, I had teenagers, mm-hmm. and my choice was to either go back to college, pursue a higher education, and it would have already had written my first book, so I would have gone into a writing program, but I would have had to live in the city, mm-hmm. And actually have never lived in a city since 1989, I guess, when I was going to Texas Tech University. And it would have been to cut ties with my love for living in the natural world, not just visiting it. Mm-hmm. And with a culture that is sometimes feels a little bit oppressive, but just because of the rural roots. But one that I love and that mm-hmm. I write about a lot. I made a conscious choice, mm-hmm. Not to walk away from the things that were feeding my writing already. And I was very fortunate in meeting my husband and in developing a relationship with him, because we both love to be out there, mm-hmm. in nature, in the natural world. And this is a beautiful, beautiful place to do so. Mm-hmm. As far as being unplugged, I like social media because I live a long way from town, and it is my way of connecting with other people, especially writers. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem putting a vacation reply on my email, mm-hmm. and shutting everything down and being gone and away from it. And there is a great component to that allows for creativity.
Great. Is your husband a writer as well, by any chance?
No, he is the foreman of this ranch, but he mm-hmm. is a songwriter okay. and a documentary filmmaker.
And interesting, is it? And for the most part, when you're working, is it just the two of you, or do you have other people that you work with as well?
No, it's the two of us right now, just the two of us. Once in a while, we look ahead and we see way too many animals in one group for us to handle efficiently, and we have a couple of friends who also work for day wages, and we can call them and they'll come hang with us for a few days and help. But for the most part right now, we're doing it ourselves, and that's because he likes things moving quietly and smoothly. And one reason he likes to work with women is because women will step back and look at the animals and not at the task that has to happen, but look at the animals and what's best for the animals in that moment. he has a long speech he can tell you someday about it. But
I think I might like to hear that speech sometime. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, mama cow, a cow is primarily her, a cow living on the land. Her number one relationship in her life is the mother-child, the mother-offspring relationship. Her whole life is centered around ovulation, gestation, lactation. So a woman very often looks at her in those terms. Mm-hmm. The reason that cow's ducking off into the bushes is you're too close to her baby. And if you'll back off a little bit, she wants to join the group. She wants to be where she and her baby are protected from the natural predators. So her instinct is to be with the group. But if I'm too close and I'm crowding her, that's my fault that she ducks off in the bushes and takes her baby with her. I need to back off. I need to be sensitive to what is going on in her world.
So why do you think there aren't more women doing what you're doing?
It's a very good question. Well, you can't be scared to get dirt under your fingernails, for one thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. There's a new book out, an anthology called Ankle High and Knee Deep. And Globe Pequot just put it out, and I have a couple of pieces in it. And the voice of rural women in the West is very strong. Leaning Into the Wind was the first anthology that really brought women's voices, rural women's voices, to the forefront. So culturally, I think we see a lot of women moving toward working with animals. There's a lot of women moving into the horse world, not as many moving into the cow world. And I just think it's a cultural thing, and I think that all of that is changing.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to hear your voice, and thank you for sharing it with me, and thank you for your time. That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Amy Hale Hawker. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for Worked Stew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com or by posting a comment on the Worked Stew website. Thanks again, and bye for now.